KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mary Castro. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Julie.
We're excited to have another very special guest with us today, and as always, I'll let you make the introductions.
Well, this introduction could take the whole half hour because our guest today is Gina Strang-Behrens, and she's just recently been named the Executive Assistant for the Vice President of University Advancement, but she has a long history with Fresno State and with the Valley. Thank you, Gina, for being here this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
So nice to meet you. Thanks for taking time out of your Sunday to be with us.
Thanks, Julie.
Well, one of the things that Gina has up on me is that she's known Joe longer than I have.
Uh-oh.
Going back to Hanford High days.
Oh, you need to get some good dirt out of her now. Does she have snapshots?
The only thing is she says, Joey really was a nice guy in high school.
Yeah, and then we had our high school reunion this summer, and then I found out we went to elementary and junior high together.
Oh, that's
I do remember junior high. I don't remember elementary. But yeah, we try not to talk about those days too much just because there were some hair challenges back in the day. So
You were both sporting perms. You were level on that.
Yes.
But I remember at it was for the 30th, right, they had at Tachi. And I remember that they had this point in the night where they were inviting people back for this photo corner, and they would hold up the picture of their elementary or junior high school. And that's what you and Joe are like, wait a minute.
Yeah, we were. Gosh, it's long history.
Oh, we need to find those photos.
But it doesn't seem that long ago, does it? You know, when you're talking about high school, and even when I think of stories, it doesn't seem that long ago. And then you start doing the math, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Please don't do the math.
Yeah. And then the high school kids think we're old. And it's like, you have no idea how cool we still are.
Right. We were cool then.
Yeah. And we still are.
Well, you weren't always in Hanford. I told Joe you started off, you were born in Bakersfield.
Yes.
And then tell us about your family growing up. And how did you end up in Hanford?
Well, we moved around a little bit after Bakersfield. And we actually lived in Fresno back in 1973. And my parents bought a service station down in Hanford.
Okay.
Across from Ryan's Restaurant, and had that for years. And so that's what took us to Hanford. And we were there since 1973. So it was nice because kind of got a good feel of Hanford. We were there long enough and it was fun. I always talk about Hanford because everybody knows Hanford, you know, stinky water and Superior Dairy. You know, I mean, those are the two things.
That great people, ice cream and sulfur in the water.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but it was good. I was a good small town person. I enjoyed growing up in a small town, and it was just a comfortable place to be. So there was a lot of good memories and just playing sports and growing up and going to school with the same kids throughout. And it was just a good way to grow up.
Oh, that's great. And while you were here at Fresno State, you played softball. You were a first baseman.
Yes.
And a left-hander, which I love.
Yes.
I love
very
meeting
important.
Fellow lefties. And that gives you a little bit of an advantage on first base.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, when you're left-handed, there aren't a lot of options. So it's outfield pitching and first base. So there was no way I was going to pitch, and I wasn't fast enough for the outfield. So it was easy to go.
Yeah, I would play shortstop, and you have to turn.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to be pivoting fast at shortstop.
But
and then outfield. But what I loved the best about being left-handed and batting, because you could really catch the pitchers off guard.
Absolutely. Yeah. And back in that day, there weren't as many lefties as there are today. So I still thought it was quite an advantage.
Did you play in the softball leagues while you were growing up in Hanford, or did you not start playing until you got into Hanford High?
I probably started when I was 8 or 9 in Bobby Sox. I played softball and soccer as much as I could. Soccer was probably my first love. But because they didn't have girls teams back in the day in Hanford, I played up until my freshman year, and they got too big and strong. And so softball was really what I focused on and loved it. I mean, it wasn't anything I didn't like, but, you know, as I look back, soccer might have been my way if things had been different. So, but when I think about it, I loved playing. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would get recruited.
Really?
I just really was hoping to play at COS in Visalia, and then maybe be able to transfer to Fresno State. Maybe. Uh-huh. So my high school coach, Leslie Steffen, knew the coaches up here, Coach Pickle, and she was really kind of got the ball rolling for me. And so it was amazing. It's still amazing.
And how did the recruitment process work then?
Well, back in the day, I mean, it's very different than what it is. I mean, to me, it's more of a business today. I was just so excited. In fact, I remember going to a game up here at Fresno State, and I didn't want to bother the coaches, so I didn't go up and talk to them after the game.
Oh.
And because I was just insecure, I didn't know the process, and I got reprimanded really strongly for not coming up and, you know, talking to them, because it was like, no, we want you here.
Great.
So it was just foreign to my family to even go through this process.
And how did your parents feel when you told them that you were going to be a student athlete?
I think apprehension, because I think that none of us knew if I would even be able to play at this level.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, yeah, that's great. Partial scholarship, and but not an expectation that I would play, at least in my first couple of years. Very excited, very proud, but just apprehensive because I just didn't know if we could play at this level.
Well, that's interesting that you say you didn't know that you could play at this level when you ended up being a three-time All-American.
Yeah.
Tell us how you become designated as an All-American. What do you do?
Well, my freshman year, I was fortunate enough, I got to play pretty early on. So I played my freshman season, and I realized that I could compete at this level. So after my freshman year, my goal was to be an All-American by my senior year. That was my new goal. And basically what an All-American is you're the best of the best across the country. So they take every first baseman in every Division I school, and they basically rank you. Mm-hmm. And you're either the top one or two.
Wow.
So you're first team All-American or second team All-American. So I was the best first baseman, either one or two, for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Fantastic. I look at it and I'm still amazed. It's like, wow, how did that happen? But, you know, I was driven and I loved it. I loved it.
You must have had a great relationship with your coaches for them to encourage you and for you to be able to rise to that level. I mean, of course, you had incredible physical talent, but that doesn't get you all the way. You have to have the support of people who really know what they're doing to guide you in the right way.
Exactly. And Coach Wright was really that person. I mean, she came my sophomore year and I was still kind of an insecure freshman, not really understanding what this was all about. And she was so instrumental in really boosting my confidence to be that player. I think I could have achieved, but to just be able to have that faith in you and to work hard. I mean, I did a lot of extra work. It didn't just come, but to have her and to have that confidence in me, knowing that I could do it, was just, it's amazing.
Because she's a dynamic person.
Absolutely.
I've had the opportunity to meet her, and, you know, I had read about her. That's great that you get emotional, because that shows that, you know, the real personal relationship that you had and how much her mentoring meant to you.
Yeah.
And she's just a very dynamic person, you know, and a champion for women in sports. So, you know, she was fortunate to have you on her team, and you were fortunate to have her influence.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she'll be back when we retire Laura Berg's number.
That's
exciting. On the 27th, she's coming back, and Coach Pickle will be there. And so it'll be exciting. It's going to be a great time.
Well, I know you're very active in the Fresno Athletic Hall of Fame. Tell us what it was like for you to be inducted.
Oh, gosh. That's another one that's still amazing to me. when I got the call from Dr. Mias back in 2004 notifying me of that, I was like, really? but it was another dream to stand up on stage with the athletes that I shared it with, other ones inducted that year. It was just an amazing experience, because you look back on that time, you're like, wow, I can't believe I did that. But it was awesome.
Well, Joe and I have had the opportunity of attending two of the banquets, and it's very emotional to get to see the athletes of all different ages that are being inducted, and then their families are there, and they get to tell a little bit of their story. And even if they haven't played in a long time, I'm always impressed by the incredible memory that athletes have.
Mm-hmm.
They can remember the play and the game and the score and who did this or that, right or wrong, you know, and just how deep it goes for the player and for their family and how proud they are. And it's always a long event, but it's an exciting event because you want to hear everybody's story and you want to celebrate that moment with them. And I really like the two times that we've been there when you get to escort another person up there.
Oh, right. And yeah.
I think that's, you know, very respectful too. And yeah. And it's just, there's a lot of pageantry to it, but it's beautiful. And then when you have all the plaques laid out that show the different athletes, and I'm really excited that our campus gets to be the home of the memorabilia for it.
We're real excited about that partnership, and there's still a lot of work to do, but we've been looking for a permanent home. It was Dr. Mias's dream to have a permanent home. So a lot of work, a lot of money to raise, but to partner with the St. Mark Center in Fresno State, we're so excited. And, you know, when I was, after I got inducted, I started on the board, and every year I would say, oh, do I really want to do this? And, you know, it's a time commitment. And then I would go to the dinner and I would see all the former athletes and the fans and everybody that was there. And you're like, I can't quit this.
Right.
And this last year, vice president, and it's really exciting to see all the different things that we're doing. We have outreach opportunities with the Boys and Girls Club that you and Dr. Castro will be a part of.
Yes.
Scholarships in Dr. Mia's name, and just honoring some high school athletes and doing a lot of great things. So the Hall of Fame has evolved. It's become more than just a dinner once a year. And we'd love to celebrate that. But we also wanted people to know about the Hall of Fame and the rich athletes that come out of this valley.
It's
amazing. I mean, you've seen the plaques. You've seen the people.
Right.
It is chilling, the talent that has come out of this valley.
And I think that a lot of people aren't aware of how much talent at such high levels.
Yes.
So how did you end up choosing Fresno State? You were recruited to play. Mm-hmm. Did that pretty much solidify it for you? And you studied criminology.
I did.
Tell us about your experience as a student athlete and how you were able to balance your academics with your athletics.
Well, Fresno State was my only choice. It was where I was recruited, so it made sense. And, of course, I was excited to be here. I think it's a good news, bad news. And for me, I never knew what I wanted to be when I grew up, other than if I could play sports professionally. But I became a criminology major because I had a couple of friends on the team that were crim majors. And I'd always been interested in the field.
Yes.
And really wanted to get into corrections and counseling. And so I went that path and I started working as a drug counselor for about a year and a half. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is not my path. And so I kind of bounced around. I've been very, very fortunate in my career to just have contacts and kind of fall into different positions, and was fortunate enough to work at Fresno State back in 2005 in athletics for a couple of years. And that was just a dream. You know, to share an office with Coach Sweeney was always an adventure. And what a great opportunity. But, you know, I went off and I got to do a few things after I left Fresno State, but there's nothing like being back. And to be on campus, you know how I feel about athletics. I mean, it's just who I am. But to be on campus and to see that athletics is such a huge part of the campus, but the campus is the big picture. And the amazing things that I see on campus, the energy on campus is just, it's exhilarating. And it sounds so cheesy. But
no, that's great. That's how I feel. That's why I'm here.
It's just, it's such a great time to be a Bulldog and to be involved.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, we're so excited to have you back here. And you said you weren't sure of what you wanted to do, but it seems like there was always a magnet that would pull you back to Fresno State, or you've always been involved with athletics in one way or the other. So,
absolutely.
You know where your passion is, where your root is, and now it seems like you're getting to have both of them at one time.
Absolutely. And I think that's why I'm excited about Club Red.
Yes, wanted you to talk about that.
I mean, anytime I can talk about Club Red, I just get excited. It's our former student athletes. I don't like to say old student athletes, but our former student athletes coming back together to get involved as a group, to renew relationships, to create new relationships, to give back to the current student athletes, which I am so excited about. I wish that I would have had former athlete mentors when I was getting out of school to kind of say, tell me what to expect and help me through the transition of being just a normal person and not being that competitor anymore. So,
because there is a transition.
Yes, it is. It's a huge transition. You're the focus of fan support when you're playing. And then there's always a new crop. Not that you're ignored by fans. I mean, my gosh, being a former student athlete has opened up so many doors for me in this town. But it's just different. You're not on the field competing. And so it took me a long time to transition into, you know, the workforce and just really not labeling myself as that athlete. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to be back. I like being part of Club Red. I think there's so much opportunity to not only bring them back to athletics, but to bring them back to the campus.
Talk a little bit about the luncheon that we just had for Club Red. There was a great turnout. And then there was a basketball game afterwards.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about some of the athletes that attended and mm-hmm. what are some other activities and ways that you see Club Red growing?
Well, Saturday's event was great. It was a national girls and women in sports. So mm-hmm. we brought our former female athletes back and had a luncheon. And Dr. Castro spoke, but also our new athletic director spoke. That was the
yes.
first opportunity for, actually, it was the first opportunity for a lot of those athletes to see both of them.
Mm.
And to see them both at the event, really, in my mind, I had a lot of comments on how excited they were to have them both there.
Great.
And to feel re-engaged and mm-hmm. connected. It was from all of the sports, track and volleyball and women's basketball, and it was exciting. And then to be honored as a group at the basketball game, it's just, to me, people are feeling more connected because they're feeling that we want them back.
Definitely.
And that's the feeling that starts at the top, that we mm-hmm. want our people to come back. And I think that's the feeling they got.
Wonderful.
So, you know, we've always been a little bit, you know, you maybe sometimes in women's sports, you don't go to the baseball games or the football games, and maybe football players don't go to a women's basketball game. But mm-hmm. I think where Club Red is bringing everybody together is we want to support every sport.
Right.
So our events coming up are to support all of our sports. So we have the softball one in 2 weeks, and then mm-hmm. we've got a baseball event in March. And then we're really gearing towards our big fundraiser to raise money for scholarships in April. And that's going to be
perfect.
An exciting one. So stay tuned for that one.
I like that. But Club Red is open to male and female. Okay, good.
And also former coaches.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's a way to bring everybody back together and to connect with each other relationship-wise. But how can we help our student-athletes, current mm-hmm. student-athletes, and how can we reconnect with the campus?
Well, I know when Joe and I were going around the luncheon, there were some of the athletes there that were saying that they had not been back on campus since they had graduated.
Yep.
And, you know, that was just amazing to me.
Yeah.
And they were just saying how excited they were to be back on the campus and how beautiful everything looked. And they were looking forward to going to the game. And, you know, like you said, there's a lot of excitement about mm-hmm. the possibility of being able to be connected on a bigger level to the campus. And that's exactly what we want. This is their campus and, you know, the campus of the Valley. And we want everybody to come here, enjoy mm-hmm. it. You know, there are so many wonderful things that are going on. And when I heard about you being the president, I love that. So Julie, Gina's husband, his name is John, tells me, can I introduce you to the new president of Club Red? And I said, okay, sure. And he goes, Gina Strangbaron. But you are so involved with a lot of different organizations in town. And so it's like just taking on something
else. One more
thing,
yeah.
But your husband, John, is a former athlete, too. Tell us a little bit of how you met. And is the fact that you're both athletes at heart, do you compete with each other? I know when you play golf that you get pretty...
We do. Yeah, we do. Yeah, John played football back in 1971-72 here mm-hmm. at Fresno State. So it's kind of that fun camaraderie. But we actually met on the golf course mm-hmm. and we had played golf together for about a year before we actually started dating. And we did have, we call it the World Series of Golf. So the best out of seven rounds.
Wow.
And yeah, so we always had to hear about how they beat us. And of course, we have to banter back and forth. But, you know, I think we're competitive in some ways, but I think we kind of know what we're, I think it's more competitive in other arenas more than even sports. It's, we're pretty confident in our opinions, you know, so it's like, don't tell me what to do. And I know what I'm doing. And, you know, it's that kind of stuff, but it's fun. What I love is being able to go to the sporting events here and have John be a Club Red member too.
That's wonderful.
And we get to share that part of it. And when I, you know, he always jokes to everybody, I'm sure he said it to you, yay, you know, I'm in the Hall of Fame. John will say this because his name, Barons, is in the Hall of Fame. So he likes to take credit. Well, oh my gosh, this year he's going into the Hall of Fame.
He is.
The 1968-69 Fresno City football teams are being inducted. And he was a part of one of those teams.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah. So I tell him, though, that I got the Apollo trophy. He just gets the medal.
Oh.
So I guess we are competitive.
I love that.
constantly sparring.
Yes.
Well, the thing that I love about John is just about anywhere you go, he sees a former teammate or somebody he coached. Or,
yep.
You know, he has friends everywhere.
He does.
And he's just such a nice man. He has a great sense of humor. And no, we just really enjoy spending time with the two of you.
Thank you.
But I could see him wooing you with his wit and his charm.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about John is it's like most of the time I have to drag him to these different events and stuff. And then when we're trying to leave, it's like, can we go now? Yeah, can we go now, please? Because I'm done.
Well, I think he knows everybody who ever attended Memorial.
At least. Yeah, at least.
And he's a very proud alum of that.
He is. He is.
So you're also involved with the Christian Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Christian Businessmen.
Christian Businessmen. Mm-hmm. Thank you for correcting me. Tell me about what you do with that organization.
Well, there's two. The Christian Business Men's and Women's Connection is a local organization, and it's really just connecting Christian business professionals together and networking opportunities and great speakers and different events. And we have our annual dinner coming up with Dr. Powell, Larry Powell, and his wife Dot, who, if you haven't heard them, he has got such an incredible story of faith and perseverance through competing in wrestling after polio. So we're really excited about that. But that was just one that I really got connected to because I wanted to network and I wanted to be around other Christian professionals because that was important to me. My faith is important to me and I wanted to be accountable to how we treat others in the workplace. And it's just really been a fun organization. There's a lot of great events. So yeah, I guess I do keep myself pretty busy.
The list is getting longer.
I know.
It's
know.
Very long.
And I'm trying to scale back a little bit now that I have more of a regular schedule to work. So I'm not as involved as I was. I've really kind of Club Red and Hall of Fame are really my go-tos right now, the ones I feel excited about.
Well, you did remove yourself from one thing, and that was in 2013, you were appointed to the University Advisory Board by President Castro. And now that you've accepted the new position on campus, you're no longer going to be doing that. But I mention that because your willingness to be a part of that University Advisory Board is also an indicator of your strong support of the campus and how important you feel this campus is to the Valley and to the success of the Valley. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about how you feel the campus changes lives in the Valley.
Oh, gosh. It touches so many people. I think what I loved most about being part of the advisory board is, number one, you got to really find out what was going on campus. So you could go out and spread the word. That was, I felt, my responsibility is to go to the meetings, give input, but to take the information and take it out to the community and correct people when they're misinformed. So I loved that. I loved getting the invitations to all the events because then you get to see the great things on campus. The thing, and I just learned this when I came back to work, 80% of our graduates stay right here in the area. So our graduates are in our workforce.
Yes.
So it touches all industries, not just ag or business. It's everybody because so many of our graduates stay and work here. So what I love about Fresno State is a community college in the fact that it is ours. The community is very involved in Fresno State, and I love that about it.
That's great. Well, we're so excited to have you back on the campus and back
on
our team. And we know that you're going to do great things here, especially through Club Red.
Thank you.
And just being a mentor to our current athletes that we have on the campus, for them to see what you have translated your education and your experience into doing, and that it's such a positive part of Fresno State.
Thank you
for taking the time to be here with us this morning.
Thank you.
It's nice to meet you. Thank you again.
You too, Julie.
Well, thanks again to our very special guest, Fresno State's Executive Assistant for the Vice President of University Advancement, Gina Strang-Barrens. And of course, my co-host, Fresno's First Lady, Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning. And please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.